If you have the word of the Lord with you this day, if you turn to 1 John chapter 4. John is writing here and he's talking to us who are children of God. And I guess he's pretty much talking to anybody that can read the word. But most of the writers of the New Testament, when they write down beloved first, are talking to that certain group of people that are loved of God, that God gave unto his son, Jesus Christ. And that he would lose none of those. And he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Now remember we said, you know, believe his word and trust his grace. So we know that God is talking to John and that he's writing these words. And he's talking to us and he says, don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe every spirit, but try these spirits. Try these people that are coming to you. Try the words that you hear, whether they are of God. And, you know, to believe his word, we need to do what? We need to read this, don't we, Sue? We got to read this. Because in order to try the spirits, whether they are of God, we have to know this. We have to know the Bible. Because we have to know that when somebody is speaking unto us or talking unto us, are they speaking the truth? Or do we need to watch out, like it warns us in Ephesians also, that we need to watch. Try the spirits whether they are of God. And he tells us, he explains unto us why I am telling you this. I'm telling you this because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There's a lot of false prophets that are gone out into the world. And I believe we've had a couple of them here that were not very truthful in the Word of God. And one of those was Brother Meeks, who spoke unto us. And I think that he disrespected our church in saying the things that he did from the pulpit. And thankfully, we will never let somebody like that in our pulpit ever again. And there's others. I think people might know who I'm talking about. But then he goes on and he tells us, okay, this is how you can kind of know whether they're a false prophet. God has kind of told us, you know, about false prophets. But here he says, you know, hereby know ye. Remember how I've said, what do we know? What do we know? So John is telling us, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And you've heard me saying, I believe Brother Roger knows the same thing, that you know what, you can only kind of go and be a false prophet for so long. And then eventually your true meaning and what you truly are going to eventually come out, because you can't do it forever. You can't do it forever. So he says, you know what? Every spirit confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And we know, just like John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's a hard thing to say, well, I believe in him, because that when we say it outwardly, we have to believe it where? Inwardly. Because if we don't believe it inwardly, if it's not coming from the heart, and you're just saying it to please man instead of please God, then it's going to come to naught, Brother Roger. It's going to come to nothing. So when we confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that has to come from in here to be able to make it come out of our mouths truthfully. Truthfully. Because he goes on into verse 3 and says, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, where ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." And we can see in our world today, we can see that spirit of Antichrist that is in the world today. And there's a lot of people that confess today that Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh. There's a lot of people that do not believe in Jesus Christ today. And that spirit of Antichrist. Now we know that the Antichrist that's foretold of in Revelation has not come into the world yet. But we know that spirit of that Antichrist is in the world today. And we have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And it is in the world today. We can see the things that are going on in the world today. And that so many people not believing in God. And as Brother Roger brought out, we see so many of our political candidates today that are running for president. I'm not going to name any by names. You kind of know what they're all about. Whether it's the Democratic or the Republican side, we can see that they do not believe in God. I believe that the fear of God is not in their hearts. And they do not reverence him and give him his proper obedience. And it's sad to say that it's that way on the Republican side. And the leading candidate has no mention of God at all. And just about a lot of the rest of them too, Brother Roger. Some of them we see do mention him every now and then. But it's like they don't want to offend people by what they believe in. I don't care if I offend anybody in saying that I believe in Jesus Christ. Now he goes on in verse 4, John does, to comfort us a little bit. And he says in verse 4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them," that spirit of Antichrist, those people that are out in the world, "because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So isn't it wonderful that we can say that we are one of those little children and have overcome them, and that we are of God, and that's why we're able to overcome them, because we are of God. And he says, "because greater is he that is in you." You know, the Apostle Paul says, "Nevertheless I live, but yet not I, but," what does he say? "Christ lives within me." That's why I like to say, you know, all these things are matters of the heart. Because that's where it is. Christ has entered into our hearts. And because of this, we have overcome them. Because isn't he greater than any other? A lot of times on my way to work, I'll sit there and I'll say, you know what? I don't know if it's exactly in the Bible or not, Brother Roger, but he says, "I am God. And there is none else." I thought it was, but "I am God and there is none else." And I am glad that he is able to say that. You know, there's none other but God. And we know that. Something that we know, and it's in our hearts that we know that he is the God of the universe. Not just of our little world, but the universe. He's in control of everything that happens in this world. And he says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. And we can see so many of these mega churches today. They are speaking of things of the world. I believe they're talking about those things that are pleasing to man and not pleasing to God. Now, do they say some things that are good? Yes, they do. But we need to watch out. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, if you read the four Gospels, you'll see Jesus kind of tells them people, a lot of those people, you know what? You can't hear my word. You know, because he says, you know, if you know me, you know my Father. And if you know my Father, you know me. So to know God and to know Jesus Christ, you have to believe in him. Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that you know that you have to be born again to be able to hear the things that be of the Spirit of God. And there's so many people that are out in the world, they don't want to hear the things that be of the Spirit of God. There's so many people that out in the world today that think that we as Christians are hate mongers. And we don't hate anybody. Sometimes we cannot agree with people and the things that they believe in. But that doesn't mean that we hate people. I don't like a lot of the things that are going on out in the world today. I don't like that we continue to allow the murder of unborn children under the guise of abortion. I don't agree with a lot of the things that are out in the world today. But I don't hate people. The Bible says, you know what, we need to pray for these. And that's what we need to do. And I believe when it says, you know, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is, and it's so much more as we see that day approaching. You know what, we should not forsake the praying of one for another and for the world and so much more as we see that day approaching. And I think that day is fast approaching for each and every one of us. Our God is a God of love. But he also differentiates between right and wrong in the scriptures. And there is sin that is in the world today, and he does say the wages of sin is death. Is death. But look at in verse 7 now. John starts going into these things, and he says, you know what? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And I like the way that John uses his words here. And he says that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that, you notice that he does not say here that everybody is going to live through him. But he says, what, Brother Roger? That we might live through him. Remember how I started out at the beginning of chapter 4 and John says, beloved, beloved. He's talking to those that are chosen of God. And in verse 9, he's just reinforcing that when he says that we might live through him. That we might live through him spiritually, with that spiritual life. Because I not everybody has spiritual life. Only those that are born of the Spirit have spiritual life. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, Apostle Paul writes, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, and that's what we're talking about, the great love that he had for us, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So in here, in Ephesians chapter 2, he talks about it. And he says, and you hath he quickened. That word quickened means what? Gave life. He gave life to those who were dead in trespasses and sins. So we can see right away the Apostle Paul is not talking about physical, but he's talking about spiritual. Because he's talking about giving life to those that were dead in their trespasses and sins. Spiritual. You know, he talks about in verse 2 that in the past we walked. In the past we walked according to the course of this world. You know, it talked about here in about the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. And he talks about that here, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We were living our lives according to Satan. And he says in verse 3, among whom also, as we talked about back here, where he talked about that we might live through him in 1 John, he talks about it. Among whom also we, he's talking about that group of people again, we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But then the Apostle Paul brings out, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith, or which with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. It's amazing when we look at these things, Brother Bill, and we see that even when we were dead in our sins, that he loved us. Because he knew that our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He knew that time that we were going to get. And I believe he was watching over us because he had to bring us to that point in our lives that we were born again. And when we're born again, don't we come up and we make forth a profession of our faith and we ask for a home in the church and that we follow the Lord in baptism as Jesus Christ, who didn't think of himself any better than anybody else. He was in this world just in his bodily form as you and I were, and he became baptized also. So praise God that he looks down upon us. If you want to know God, you have to have that love of God abiding in your hearts. And isn't it really wonderful how he revealed his love toward us, that he sent his only begotten Son He sent Jesus Christ into the world that we might live. Because if that didn't happen, what would we be? We'd still be dead in our trespasses and sins, wouldn't we? That's how much He loved us. You know, when He formulated that plan of salvation in His mind, and He knew that He had to send that perfect sacrifice for sin. Because if you read in the Old Testament, what does it say? When you brought a sacrifice to the priests in the Old Testament, it had to be a perfect sacrifice to be accepted by God. And it was no much more different that He had to send that perfect sacrifice for sin, His Son Jesus Christ, that Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He had to send Him into the world so that He could die for our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And herein is that love. We talk about that great love. Not that we loved God, but that He sent His Son, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. He loved us so much that He sent His Son to pay that price. You know, we sing that song, He paid the price. No, He did pay that ultimate price. He paid it with His life. Now that's what you call true love, don't you? When someone is willing to give his life for you. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. See, that's where sometimes I think we drop the ball a little bit. That we don't show that love one to another. I know sometimes it's hard, isn't it? It's not an easy thing to show that love one towards another, is it? But He's given us example. You know what? God loved us so much to do all these things. Can't you just love one another? Can't we just get along sometimes? No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us, or made complete in us. You know, just because I haven't seen God doesn't mean that we should not love like He loved each and every one of us. You know, Jesus says that one time when one woman, trying to remember exactly what she said, but you know, He said, blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. We haven't seen Jesus Christ physically, haven't seen God. It says no man has seen God. But yet we believe that they are. That's stepping out by faith, isn't it? When you can never see anything, but yet you believe. You ever go over a bridge and you go up, you can see that top of that bridge. But Carl, don't we believe that there's a road on the other side that's going to get us down on that other side? So we have to believe that God is here for us. He's not going to leave us alone. He's not going to leave us and just, okay, you're on your own. We believe that He is, and He's here for us all the time. God is such an awesome God. We've never seen him but believe that he is. If we love one another, he's telling us, you know, God dwells in you. If you show that love one towards another, you know that God dwells within us and his love is completed in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. In that regeneration, he gives his Spirit unto us. And we go forward from that time, praising God all the time for his goodness unto each and every one of us. He has given us a measure of faith. He's given us a measure of his Spirit, teaching every child of God. Because of these things, we can proclaim Jesus Christ unto the world, because we believe in him and know in him, and his Spirit is within us. You know, we should give thanks that he sent the Holy Spirit into the world to be our comforter and to be our guide. Because I look at it and I think, you know, God knew exactly what he was doing, didn't he? That he sent his Holy Spirit into the world to guide us. I need a lot of guidance in this world today. And I need comfort in this world today, don't we? Because when we look and see the things that are going on, sometimes we lose sight of that comfort and that guidance that he gets to each and every one of us. I like to call it an earthly maze. We need guidance in this earthly maze in which we live. Verse 14, it says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Now, when it says here that we have seen, we haven't seen Jesus Christ, not with physical eyes, but with spiritual eyes, we do see that Jesus Christ, as we see that babe lying in that manger, and as we see that Jesus Christ, when he stayed behind, and his mom and dad went on and came back, and he was in the midst of all the doctors and teaching, and he was listening to them. And the doctors were amazed at this little child that was, I guess I'm not saying he was a little child, but he was like about 8 or 9 years old, and the knowledge that he had. And remember when his mom and dad asked him, he says, "You know what, we were so worried about you." And what did he say, "Brother Roger? I had to be about my Father's business." Can you imagine? Here was a child, like I said, about 8, 9, 10 years old. And he knew already that his Father was God. And that he had to be about his Father's business. And even his mom and dad were perplexed at his saying. But his mom kept all these thoughts in her heart. In her heart. And that as Jesus went on in his earthly ministry, he's about 30 years old when he finally started preaching. And then when he finally died upon the cross for us. So we have not seen these things physically, but we have seen these things spiritually. We see them through his holy word, the holy word that God has given unto us, that we can see these things. He sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And we get down again into verse 15, and this is something he brought a little earlier, but he says it again. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. We can see the importance of these things because now John starts bringing this out more than once. And we can see how much it is. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Now we sit there and we think, well, that's a pretty easy thing to do. Because we have confessed and we know and believe that Jesus is the Son of God. There's a lot of people out in the world that do not confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I don't normally talk about religions, but Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They believe he was a really good man, he was a really good prophet, but they do not believe that he is the Son of God. In verse 16, John goes on to write, and he says, "We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." And we have known. Kind of like, you know, when I says Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together. And we have known. You notice that it says we have known. It means we know now. It's not that we're not gonna know it in the future. We know it now. As soon as you're born again of God, you know these things. And you know and believe the love that God hath toward us. Because we can see the things that he did for us. Watching over us when we're yet dead in our trespasses and sins. He loved us, like I say, in spite of ourselves, didn't he? When we were not following, when we were walking according to this prince of the power of the air, that spirit that works in the children of disobedience, that he loved us. He loved us. Even when we were not doing the things that were of God, the things that were of the world, we were in direct opposition to what he wanted us to be and to do, Brother Roger. He still loved you. Now that's what you call amazing love. That he would love you in spite of all these things. That God loved us through all these things. You know, it's just like, you know, if we look at the saying, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the same way it is with God. God's the same. God hasn't changed in all these years, has he, Sue? He hasn't changed. Who's the one that's doing all the changing? We are. We're the ones that do the changing. God does not change. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I think these words, he's keep repeating these words, but he wants us to fully understand and comprehend the unity that we have with God. We are knit together with him. We're in unity. We're unified as one under God. He's dwelling in us. We're with him. We're together. We're in this together, as this old saying goes. We're in it together, Brother Roger. We're not separate. We're all together. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You know, he says he's reserved a crown of righteousness for each and every one of his children. And we know that it says that we may have boldness. You know, that boldness is, we're not bold about it, but we have confidence. That we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because why can we have that confidence in that day of judgment? Because of Jesus Christ. That's why we can have that confidence. Because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for each and every one of us. Because we know in that day of judgment, what's going to happen in that day of judgment? Revelation says, you know, the books were opened. The books were opened and they were judged out of the books, right? But what does it say? Why we can have confidence, Mabelham? Because why? Because he says another book was opened, which is the book of life. And all those whose names were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. So we know that there are names that are what? That are not written in the Lamb's book of life. And they are cast into fire. We may have confidence in that day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. We have somebody that we can look to all the time. We can look unto him who is what? The author and finisher of our faith. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know, we don't need to have any fear, do we? Not in this world today. He says, you know what? We're not to fear man. He says, Jesus says, I'll tell you whom you ought to fear. Fear him that is able to destroy what? Both body and soul in hell. But because God loves us and he's dwelling within us and we're within him, you know what? That perfect love of God, that perfect love of Jesus Christ casts away all fear. We don't have to be afraid. Because even if we die, we're going to go to be with him. Now, death is not something we look forward to. But for a child of God, we have no fear in that because of what God has said unto us. Because fear hath torment or punishment. And we know that we've gained the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I like verse 19 a lot. We love him because he first loved us. The only reason why we love him, because he first loved us. And when I look back on those thousands of years ago, before the foundation of the world, when God started writing names in that Lamb's Book of Life, not because of what we did or anything like that, because he made a choice. He made a choice. Because he first loved us all those years ago, now we love him. When he makes us to realize that we want to be fully dependent upon him, that we are accepted in him. In him. I'm friends with Jerry Hunt Sr. on Facebook, and he wrote a little article. It wasn't very long, just a little bitty thing. And he says, so many of the religions of the world today, and they just say that all you do is you have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's far from the truth. In Ephesians, it says that we are accepted in him. We are accepted in him. Because if we can accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then that takes everything away from God and puts it right in the hands of man. And it's not in the hands of man. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That we may be accepted in him. I just want to read that. It's in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to start reading at verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Isn't that just wonderful? The words that he says here, to the praise of the glory of his grace, his unmerited favor, and because of that unmerited favor that he has made us accepted in the beloved. I'm going to close with these last two verses in the chapter. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth his brother, whom he hath not seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. It's a good way to end right here. And, you know, the words of God are quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the words of John Wright here can really hit us really down where it counts. Because he says, you know what? If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, what does he say? He is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God or say that he loves God whom he hath not seen? So if we say that we love God, we have to love our brothers and sisters also. So we need to go forth from today. And you know what? We need to be praying one for another. Pray for those that are out in the world today, that the Lord might touch their hearts. It might be our children. It might be our friends. It might be other family members. That we might pray for them. That the Lord would shine in their hearts. And that they would come to know that Jesus Christ is their Savior. And they would come forth and make a public profession of their faith, believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the things that he did for each and every one of us. I hope that what I've said would be a comfort for each and every one of us. Because we know it is very rough being out in the world today, isn't it? It's hard being out there in the world. And it's hard, and it's going to get harder to maintain our beliefs in this world in which we live. We see it's an ever-changing world. Sometimes things change very quickly. But we need to stand fast in the faith in which we believe in. And I thank you for your kind attention this morning.